I'm the preacher. I can do anything, at least for a couple minutes before you get me. What does it mean, election? It means to choose or select by vote of something or someone. When we're asked to participate in an election, we're being asked to make a choice between at least two different choices that are before us, sometimes even more. We're asked to cast our vote. This is what God did concerning our future for eternity. You know, God had an election. He voted. Guess what He chose? He chose you. That's who He chose. He voted for us. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. God voted for you. He did. He went, yeah, you. I want you. He made a choice. God had a decision to whether we die in our sins or be saved from them. That was the choice. He calls His choice the election of God. And those who He chose are the elect of God. And hence, where we get the statement, the election of God. God chose us with His vote. 2 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. He chose you. This is the reason we are to live godly unto the Father every single day of the week, every moment of the day. For He proved His love by voting for us. And Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as the one who God voted for, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. That's what the elect is supposed to do. See, we have to keep the high standards, those who have been chosen by God. God had a decision to make for our salvation, and it wasn't through the pulling of a lever, it was through the forsaking of His only begotten Son that He cast His vote. We are the elect of God, not through the pulling of a lever in a voting booth, but literally through the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ when He shed it upon Calvary so that we would not go to hell. Now that's a pretty deep conviction for a vote, don't you think? I mean, you think God did His research before He went in and pulled the lever and said, I will turn my back on you, Jesus? Yet, but God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. In this way, we are the elect of God. You're special. You ever hear that? You're special. You are. God voted for you. You don't even remember putting the sign out saying, vote for Doug. No, God voted for me. He loved us before we loved Him. Well, we didn't even know we were in the election. Romans 8, 33 and 34. Listen to this. This is where we find the two candidates. Okay? Romans 8, 33 and 34. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. We're introduced to the candidates here. First candidate is Jesus Christ. He wants your vote. The opposing candidate is the one who condemns. That's the silent one in this verse, who is the devil. Jesus, the intercessor on our behalf, and the devil, the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12, verse 10, he's on the opposite side. And every day, every hour, every minute, we have a vote where we must decide who's going to be Lord of our life. Whose lever are you pulling for? Is it Christ or the devil? Every time we're faced with sin, or faced with a decision, we need to understand that we have chosen as the chosen. make the initial vote when we go down into the waters of baptism, dying to ourselves and living to God. What happens? We go down into that water, we come up, we pull that lever, we say, I believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. I transfer my soul into the possession of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit because I believe Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected, and I believe that I have a future date with a death, burial, resurrection. Not only that, but that I must live a life of death, burial, resurrection. You go down in that water, you pull the lever, and you come up and say, I'm yours for the taking, God. I voted for you. But God made it possible. He built the voting booth for us to go into by voting for us first. That is why when we went into that baptismal of the creek or the lake or river or whatever body of water you entered into, you cast a vote for Jesus. Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Right there, you pulled the lever. Romans 6:4. At that point, we were buried with him in baptism. But as Jesus was raised from the dead, so too we were raised to walk in the newness of life. And as Colossians 2:12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up through the faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead, you voted for Jesus. And if you didn't, we need to talk about registering you for the vote. Okay? Now hold that thought. When you came up out of that water, that was the first time you ever voted. You know, I called Andrew a couple of weeks ago and I said, are you registered to vote? He is, but he doesn't know how to do his ballot. I'm trying to get him to get the ballot to vote. You know, you remember the first time you voted? I remember I was 18. I remember I felt so special walking in. I like pulling that curtain thing shut. Yeah, privacy. I turned around. They don't know who I voted for, but I made sure it was loud. We were in an old country schoolhouse. I'm like, cha-ching! Like that, and I came out. I voted. Yeah, baby. First vote. Well, your first vote was when you came up out of the water. You voted for Jesus Christ to be your Lord. And because God chose us and we chose him in return, that puts us in a strenuous condition concerning the world. Because we struggle to go back to the world of sin over and over again. You think you beat sin? Well, you're deceiving yourself, and that's another sin. Romans 7:19, as Paul says, for the good I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want. It's hard being a Christian, but it must be carried out. It must, over and over again, call us to be pulling that lever again for Jesus Christ, over and over again. We re-elect him in our life every single day. Paraphrase 1 Corinthians 15:31, in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die. I'm going to substitute vote daily. I vote daily for Jesus Christ. I'm a registered C person, Christ person. And it's tough being a Christian, but Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. The struggle is between right and wrong. It could be easily understood in the context of an election. So let me do that today. So while you're being bugged by all these television commercials and polls and talking heads trying to spin everything, why don't you be dwelling on the election that we have as the elect of God? Use it to draw closer to God. Because whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, vote or watch TV about voting, whatever, do all to the glory of God. Well, let's take the voting situation and do that. We need to make sure we vote for Jesus Christ. I hope this perspective of the Christian walk will help us understand to a deeper degree of the struggle and responsibility that is before us. Let us examine both candidates through a little politics. Putting the word out, all that advertising. One of the methods the politicians use to communicate their message is with those television commercials. Don't you love those? I mean, some of them are just awful. Some are so awful they cross into good because it was like the most awful commercial. You get an award for that. One cannot turn on the local television channels without finding some of these television ads blaring in your face. Actually, at times, they border on obnoxious. But let me give you a couple of television commercials this morning. If we convert our relationship with the Savior, is what it might look like. Here's the first commercial, right? In times like these, it's important to know there's a trusted friend at the center of your life. That friend is not the devil. Satan hates children of God. Revelation 12:17, the dragon went off to make war with the children. Oh, Satan wants to destroy you. 1 Peter 5:8, he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to trap you in sin. Genesis 3:6, woman saw a tree was good to eat, it was delight to the eyes, and decided to make one wise. She ate, partake, and gave it to her husband with her. Satan bad. Satan wants you to be deceived. 11:14 of 2 Corinthians. He disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan is nothing more than a liar. John 8:44. He's the father of lies. Do you really want to spend eternity with someone like that? Vote for Jesus for a change. Oh, here's another commercial. Commercial number 2. Jesus, change you really can believe in. He really does fill your pain. Hebrews 2:18, for since he himself was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Jesus can say, I feel your pain, and mean it. He really can make a difference in the lives of the people. Luke 4:18-19. Because the Spirit of God is upon him, and he was anointed to preach the gospel to the hurting, the blind, the crippled, the deaf. He reaches out. He cares. He is 100% agreement with the Father. 100% of the time, he votes with God. I and my Father are one. Hebrews 1:3 says he's the exact representation of his nature. He has the experience that will pull us through the tough times. 1 Peter 2:23. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He offers quality deliverance from the world. As Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus really loves you. You want to know what the theme song is for Jesus Adds? Probably go something like this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me. This I know. He loved so long ago. Taking children on his knees, saying, let them come to me. Jesus loves me. Still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give. Light and love and all who live. You want to sing that refrain with me? You know the song about your candidate Jesus? Yes, Jesus loves me. Come on, sing it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, that's bad, isn't it? Woo, the Bible tells me so. But the point is, at the end of the commercial, vote for Jesus Christ as Lord. I am a Christian and I approve of this message. There you go. Okay? And so when you see these commercials going on, remember you have a candidate, and that candidate is Jesus. He's saying, pull the lever for me today. But I want to sin. I want to do these bad things. Jesus said, go in the booth. Vote for me again. Make me Lord of your life again. Keep voting me. Re-electing me. Re-electing me. Don't vote for Satan. Satan bad. Jesus good. Make sure you pull the right lever. Don't leave any ballots hanging chads or anything. Make sure it's very clear who you voted for. Then you hear about all those debates. Those debates are funny. I love it when they get caught in a question that they weren't prepared. You have that politician in the headlight look. What? Anybody got Twix? You know, I need to distract somebody. Well, this is one of the arrangements they have, the debates. It can demonstrate where a person truly stands and whether they can think on their feet. Well, there's a similar debate between Jesus and the devil. You might have missed it, but we'll go back and read it now. In Matthew 4:1-11. The Christ-Satan debate, you remember that one? Now, that's when both of your candidates were there, and it was pretty clear who was the winner. Matthew 4:1-11, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter, the devil, came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread." How Jesus answered? With Scripture. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You're not going to trip me up here, Satan. I'll win this debate. Then the devil took him to the holy city and put him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down and make a scene. As it says, the angels shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him again with Scripture. "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord to test." And Jesus, once again, scored points in the debate. And again, the devil took him to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, "If you bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms." That's your test, Jesus. And Jesus quoted him a Scripture again. "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God only, and him only should you serve." The devil left him. Behold, the angels of God came and ministered to him. With the craftiness of a Philadelphia lawyer, the devil tried to tempt Jesus into sin, but Christ would not fall for it. Tried to trip him up. All three times, Jesus used the Holy Scriptures to rebut the attempts of the devil. And all three times, he succeeded over the crafty one. Jesus demonstrated to us in the passage that he's worthy of our vote day in and day out. Even when Jesus had need for 40 days and his throat was parched, he was absolutely hungry, and at the very weakest spot that Satan could have tempted him, Jesus won the debate, and he won my vote. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? God made a fool out of that one. But Jesus, what about those polls? You getting sick of hearing those polls? 800 Eskimos and 12 harp seals were polled as to whether or not, you know, it's like, where are they grabbing these people from? I've never been called for a poll. Have you? Nobody calls me. How are they coming up with all these numbers? I get sick of all the numbers. Just let us vote. Get it over with. Well, since they're going to talk about polls, think about this poll. If there was a poll from heaven to see if Jesus was going to win the election or not, how well would it go for Satan? Well, let's take a look. Here's what a biblical poll for the outcome of the election of Christ should be. Biblical polling indicates Christ will win hands down. In fact, there would be a big old nuclear cloud sign. You know, just destroyed the competition. 1 John 3 verse 8, the Son of God for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Totally destroys everything Satan can do in your life. Revelation 20 verse 10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, also tormented night and day forever. That's a long time. Sounds like Christ is going to win. The poll says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a mighty shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive shall join them in the air, shall be ever with them, wherefore comfort one another with these thoughts. Sounds like Jesus is going to win big on election day, doesn't it? Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15, through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Told in Romans 16:20 that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. If you voted for Jesus, you're going to have a nice celebration because your candidate is a winner and the devil is a loser. All the polling information that's coming back does not bode well for the devil. In fact, it is a slaughter. With that in mind, we're left with the decision. Who are you going to vote for today? Who are you going to vote for tomorrow? Who you're going to vote for every moment of your life until it's time to end your life? I hope it's Christ. Ephesians 4 verse 27, do not give the devil an opportunity. Vote for Jesus Christ today. James 4 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Vote for Jesus Christ today. 2 Timothy 2 verse 26, we can escape the snare of the devil, but we must cast our vote for Jesus Christ, not only initially, But when we came up out of that water, if we have not been voting for Jesus, if we've been down at the enemy's voting booths, passing out information for the enemy. Yeah, here, you want a Satan bumper sticker? As we've been living like that? Put the stickers down. Go back to the right candidate, the one who can deliver your soul for eternity. Pull the lever for Jesus Christ today and every day from here on out. Don't be flustered by the election. Be excited that you are the election, that you have a choice in the matter. Why don't you think about that while we stand and sing?